We are up to page Peites. Simon Ayin Ches, Halacha Beis. Okay, so here is an example where Legata makes a mistake. This can happen. He makes a mistake and he calls up a Levi or a Kohen for one of the Aliyos that is not Kohen or Levi. What does the Kohen and Levi, what is he to do? Im Kura'o le Kohen, Oy le Levi, B'yam Sahamin, again, it's a page Peites, Halacha Beis. Halacha Beis. Im Kura'o le Kohen, Levi, B'yam Sahamin, Yale Achav im Kohenoi. So he made a mistake. So what do? You call up someone else. You call up a Kohen or a Levi. Okay, let's say you're up to the fourth Aliyah, the fifth Aliyah, and you go Yamoid, Ruvain, Ben Shimon, Halevi. Big mistake, because right now it's the fourth Aliyah. So what does he do? So he stands there. Yale Acher B'Mekoymoi. Someone else should take the Aliyah. Now I'm not sure. If they actually call up the other person, they call up the other person?
Yeah, I always thought that I think over here, because everybody knows that he's a Kohen or a Levi,
yeah.
You actually have to make the call. But what's usually like, I know what you're thinking, that you just have somebody go up without being called.
Yeah. When do they do that?
I think that's probably what, I'm not sure. But yeah. I think that's what it is.
So they don't call up.
They don't call up.
Someone sends someone up to take the Aliyah.
But he doesn't leave the Bima.
He does leave the Bima until the end, and he will then take Maftir or Acharein. So Yala Acharein, who Yamtin Eitzel Hatav, he will wait by the table. Yala Le Maftir, and he will ascend Le Maftir, Oyle Acharein, or to Le Acharein. So he should just wait there by the bima. It's also very interesting. How many? So the bima is going to get crowded. By the way, how many people do you need by the bima? Do you really need another person on the other side of the bima? Every shul you go to, there's always two people. Right? There's a person, the gabbai.
Right.
Where does the gabbai stand? So most shuls, the gabbai stands on the left side. That's most shuls. 90%. Some shuls, the gabbai is on the right side. But what's the raya? Amod liyamini. The raya comes from amod liyamini. Stand on my right side. The raya comes from the reshus on the reshus of chasan torah, chasan bereshis on, I don't remember which one, on simchas torah. The part that long reshus where he calls up the chasan torah, chasan bereshis. You look in the nusach, says amod liyamini. Come up and stand on my right side. But since that's part of the nusach, that would seem to indicate that the gabbai is standing on the left. He's on the left side. So when the gabbai is standing on the left side and he calls up the chasan torah chasan bereshis, he will then be standing on his right side. That nusach would be an indication that the gabbai should indeed be standing on the left side. What do they do over here? And this shul, the gabbai is on the left side. All the shuls are yidavim.
They have usually flanking anyhow.
But the one who calls up
is that you're supposed to have three people on the bima.
Oh, do
that
you?
Was
yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
Because people used to lay their own aliyah when it said that.
People.
So there were three people up there. The balkori, the guy who got the aliyah was
yeah.
the balkori as well.
Right.
And then you had one person on each side makes the three.
Makes
but now you have
four.
The balkori in addition to the ola.
You don't need.
Have one gabbai,
right.
So
you don't
still
need.
Have three.
Exactly. Right.
So
right.
That's the problem. So where does the guy who got the aliyah or the balkori really stand? Because who's considered what?
Okay.
The balkori is taken to play. These are the questions that I always had in my mind that nobody was ever to give me a definitive answer. You know, so...
The one who
so maybe the
gabbai
should... If you're saying the ole is the one who is like the balkriya, then he should stand. Then he should switch places. I think the raya is... In other words, the balkori stands on the left. The guy that's the ole is to the right of the balkori.
Why is that so?
Right. Why is that so? Because it depends on who you consider what.
What do you mean?
The Ola should be on the right. So maybe if the Balkori is, he's leaning on behalf of the Ola.
Yeah.
So then he's standing in the right place. But if the person who's reading is really the person who's reading,
then he should be on the right side.
He should be
on the right side. Okay, well, who makes the bracha?
Why should I add that yeah. nobody can answer?
Well, there are two issues. I'm talking about the gabbos of the gabbai. Where does the gabbai stand? The gabbai stands on.
He stands on the left.
On the left.
Because he could feed the balkari trout.
Balkari is normally on the left side. Okay, not every shul. There are shuls where the balkari stands on the right side. Berger is on the right side. We have to ask him that. You have to come back and give us a report. I've seen. The gabbai who calls on the aliyas on the right. On the right side, so why is that so?
I don't know.
Gotta ask him.
When who gets the aliyah?
I'm gonna lose sleep over this. I'm gonna lose 7 days of sleep. Okay, you ask him, because he knows what he's doing. Okay, ask him, yeah.
And I've even seen the balkar on the outside.
The minute, yeah.
The balkar on the right side. And then the aliyah.
Oh, that's what he says. Yeah.
Physically,
yeah.
Not the question.
Okay.
I'm a lefty.
Okay.
I think I see better from the left side than from the right side.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a couple of times.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. I don't know. I'm also a lefty. I don't really find a difference. One thing I once read an article about speed reading. And I read something very interesting. Okay, when we read, let's say you read very fast, okay? You could read, let's say, no, it's English name, but you read like this, you look right in front. Okay, so your eyes, you go, that's speed reading, but let me know, there are different types of speed reading. So some is you just look at the page and you look at keywords and you try to absorb it very quickly. There are different techniques of speed reading. But let's talk about regular reading. I don't mean speed reading is with these techniques where you turn the pages. I'm talking about actually going through word by word. So, if you're standing, though, some people have a technique, they use a pen, they use some type of pointer, that helps, it forces you to move through the words. Or then your eyes scan. There is a technique where you should bedafka not look at it straight. You should look at it from the side.
From an angle.
When you look at it from an angle, when you're reading the words, it's like coming at you. And it's definitely true. It definitely, you have to get the right angle. Mm-hmm. The right angle, it definitely improves your comprehension and the ability to absorb the information when you're not right on top, but you're reading it from an angle. I always wondered which angle. I'm not. It all depends on the language, Hebrew and English, going from right to left, left to right. Sometimes some will even tell you that even going away on an angle away from the text also is beneficial, or some say, no, it has to be coming towards you. And that, of course, will change whether you're reading right, left, left, or right. So the Balkoire, when you have two people up at the Sefer Torah, there's not really enough room for each one to stand right over it. Did Chazal have this in mind? You never heard of such a thing like this. That there's a technique when you read from the Torah that you shouldn't read Bedafka right in front, you should read on the left, and that way it's coming towards you. Is there such a thing? Hard to believe there's such a Maamar Chazal, so such a concept.
The
minhag ha'olam is on the left. We've never seen a shul. We've never seen otherwise. We've never seen
a
Balkari on the right.
You have seen it. I think that's just out of ignorance.
No, no. Well, that could be. Right?
We've never seen.
You know who we're dealing with.
Okay, let's go further. I really don't know. It's interesting. Okay, but here we have a situation where you call the guard. Now, by the way, the point I really wanted to make before we got to this is it really necessary? In this example, we have an extra person sitting on the beam. It gets a little bit crowded. We're calling up Elias, and now we call up a Kohen or a Levi. So let's look at your typical. Typical shul, you have the Gabbai Rishon, the Gabbai Sheni, the Balkore, and the one that gets the Aliyah. And then, not only that, there's another guy hanging out, the guy that got the last Aliyah, the previous Aliyah. So it's crowded, it's pretty crowded. Five people. One, two, three, four, five. Five people. And now we call up the Levi. In the middle, we call up the Levi. Oh, Levi, we didn't know you were a Levi, we didn't know, so you know you gotta wait, you gotta assist, you cannot let it go back, because once you call up to the Torah, it's a bazillion to go down, so you'll stand by the Bima, you'll wait here until Maftir or Acharein. Now we're gonna have six people. How many people already can we have around the Bima? So the truth is, here's the question, is it really necessary for there to be a Gabbai Sheni? What purpose does he serve? The Gav Hasheni. The Chazal say, Nikra Din, you only, there's such a Chazal, you only need three people, because when you do Kriyas Torah, is a reenactment of Matan Torah. But Matan Torah, there were three partners. There was Klal Yisrael, there was the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there was Moshe, the intermediary. The Gabai Rishon, believe it or not, is Kneged, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, the Gabai is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the one that gets the Aliyah is representing Klal Yisrael. And the one that's laning the Torah represents Moshe Rabbeinu. I once laned in a certain place, and I had a very good Gabbai. I told you the shuk a few times. The guy was a very good Gabbai. And 1 week he decided to play hooky. He says he needs a break. He's going to another shul. And we had a substitute Gabbai, and it was a disaster. He didn't know what he was doing. So I told, when the Gabbai came back, I said to him, you know, this Chazal, there are three people, Kneged, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, and Klal Yisrael. The Gabbai is Kneged, Ribbeinu Shleilam. So I said to him, Lo Yihye Elohim Acherim Al Ponai.
What? It's the guy who gets the Aliyah.
Yeah.
Then you don't have the Balkon.
Oh, so in Achnami. So here's the dilemma. Two dilemmas. First of all, who needs the Gabbai Sheni? According to this Maimon Chazal, in fact, I davened in a certain yeshiva, the Gabbai there said to me, I told him, you can't start until you have a guy. He says, what are you talking about? You don't need a Gabbai Sheni. Where do you have a Chazal, a Gabbai Sheni? He says, it's a shtus to have a Gabbai Sheni. Again, someone's standing there. He told me there's no Makar, that there has to be another person standing on the other side of the Bima.
Person who just got
yeah.
The
so why doesn't he leave right away?
Why doesn't he leave right? Why does he have?
To I don't know.
What? Because he's not supposed to act like he really wants to get out of there. In other words, you stay a while, you linger.
I'll have a story.
Is that a requirement? Is that a it's a minhag? It's right. It's a minhag. It's a custom. Yeah, you linger. Okay.
But what gives you the idea that you should, which side you lay on or lay from the angle? The Baal Kor is supposed to hold the Eitz Chaim with his right hand. Yes. So if he's on the left side and he's holding him with his right hand, he can only look over on an angle, because then he's not standing in the middle. Because otherwise he'd be like this.
Because he's holding
the left.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that's correct. You're looking at an angle. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
it'd be mashma to a degree that's the way it would end up to be. Because if you're holding the Eitz Chaim with your right hand,
you're looking at an angle.
You're supposed to.
Okay.
I don't see the Valkyrie.
It's very difficult.
Neither do I.
With the right hand.
Now, look, it is. He's supposed
absolutely.
To.
See them both.
You're not
absolutely.
Supposed to.
Yeah. You hold with the right hand.
You're supposed to hold it like that.
Absolutely.
I've never seen it.
But it says
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
He's
holding a pointer.
Yeah, so that becomes a problem. I'm not saying no. So if you watch certain people, they go like this and hold the yard like that. I just want to like Officer Joe.
Yeah. So where you're missing the other person? Yes. And so then you need another person. Then you need another person.
You know when you link the Balkori gets an Aliyah, then he's standing in the right center and he's holding both hands.
Right.
It says definitely the Balkori is supposed to hold the Eitz Chaim
with the right hand.
With his right hand. It says so. And he's not allowed to lean on the Bima ever.
Nobody's allowed to lean on
the Bima. No, I understand.
I stop.
You see people put their elbow on.
Yeah, I stop. I just stop.
Really?
And nobody, you can hold it like this.
Okay, I don't know. These are all interesting questions.
Some shuls are marked that they have like a mapa on the shulchan.
Yeah.
So that the shulchan shouldn't get the category of being kaddish, that so that you should be able to lean on it, and they remove the mapa.
Well, that becomes the mapa is quite kaddish. It's still a part of the beam that's connected.
I stop. The guy's leaning. I just stop and stand.
All right, let's go further. So the point over here in this example, it's going to be very crowded. You're going to have six people. If you don't have a big beam, you're not going to have enough room. Okay, let's go further. Okay, halacha gimel. Halacha gimel. Shtei sidros yesh lechaber hasidros imoila revi. Okay, so the aliyah which joins together two parashos. I don't know what the makar for this, why this is so, but that's halacha. That you don't make the aliyah which brings together two parashos is going to be the fourth aliyah. Next, halacha dal. Klolos. Now, a lot of things, it's a very interesting halacha. A lot of things that it says here we don't do. I don't know why we don't do, but we don't do. We only do when it comes to the Torah, not when it comes to other parts, the different parts of the Torah, which may mention Averos, where Klal Yisrael did Averos, for example, the Chet HaEgel, and the Misoinenim. I've yet to see a shul where they lay in the Chet HaEgel in an undertone. Did you ever see that in a shul?
No,
never. And not the Misoinenim. The only time in an undertone is the Toichicha. Toichicha, they lay lower. They low a little bit low, but they don't lay. They don't. But this, let's see what it says. It's over here. Klolo she parashas pichul koisai u parashas kisavo. Ein. First of all, you have halacha. Ein nafsikin bohen. Beinayim. You're not allowed to be mafsik. What's the nafkamina? You're not allowed to be mafsik, especially in Torah's kind of very big nafkamina, very important halacha. If you find the psul in the sefer Torah, you don't stop. If you're laying the toichecha in Parshas Bichu Koisai, and while the Baal Korei is laning, he discovers there's something that's not kosher. There's a missing word, a missing letter. Letter is puzzle. You don't stop. You keep on going. You lane to the end of the Aliyah. That's not a well-known halacha. What about the Toichecha? The Toichecha in Parshas Kisavo. I think it's Machlekes Apoiskim. Kisavo. The Toichecha is not as chamor as Bichu Koisai. So halacha lemaisa. If they already there, I think I'm not sure. I don't know what the halacha is, but certainly when it comes to Parshas Ki. Because you don't stop for nothing, not even for a mistake. This is a kind of not so pashut. He holds that you have to start at least one pasuk before. Our custom is to start more, three, four pasuk. We go back to a certain given point. But there are certain segments of Klal Yisrael where they don't do this. They don't follow the pasuk of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. They actually end the Aliyah. They end right before the Teichecha. And then the person who gets the next aliyah, they don't even make something. They don't make a bracha, but I think that custom is where they don't make a bracha. No one does it today. I mean, we don't see it among us. But here he's telling us that before you begin the teicha, you must at least have one pasuk. V'tzarech lahaschil pasuk echad mikaidem. Ach, leman lo, so why? Leman lo yaschil b'parasha pachas, but because we have such a tradition that you should not start a parasha less than three pasukim. Pachas mishlash pasukim. So shiasl shlash pasukim kaidem achlolos before the klal. So we go back even more. We go back to a certain point of bracha. Period. Okay, whatever. You should not end with klala. You have to at least lay one pasuk that's not klala. Ach, but you have to be careful not to end three psukim from the beginning of a parasha, because then when you start the parasha, you only have two psukim. You're not supposed to start the aliyah if there are only two psukim left at the end of the parasha. The parasha's kisisa. Okay, then he goes on to say, we all know that the second aliyah in parasha is a very long aliyah. Why is it very long? Because we don't want to be embarrassed to Yisrael. We give the aliyah to the Levi, because the Levi was not part of the Chet HaEgel. Mila Hashem Elai. They did not participate, and therefore they're not embarrassed. But we don't give it to the Israel. The parashas kisisa karni malevi kol parashu egel v'ad u'mishar so Yeshua v'atam ki bnei levi lohoye b'asiyas u'egel v'noyhagim likros b'kol namoch. Look what he says there. It's very chesh. No one does this. Tlein b'kol namoch.
When I was a kid.
You do this? They did this? No one does this today. They lain likros b'kol namoch min v'yitin al Moshe kechal oisai ad v'yichal Moshe, and the entire section of the Teichecha of the Egel is laying in an undertone. Shemaskel vayichal when you get to vayichal choyze v'koreh b'kol ram ad vayifin vayered Moshe. Shemaskel vayifin vayichoyze, and then in the middle Moshe is mispal for Klal Yisrael. In the middle, that part we lay loud, and then when we resume, we return to the story of Klal Yisrael worshiping the Egel. Then we go back to the undertone. Vayifin choyze v'koreh b'kol namoch ad Moshe ikachas oil. And these all have the little psukim where just basically is the good parts of the Egel we lay in loud, the bad parts we lay in low. The choyze v'koreh this everyone does. This is definitely still the custom. Some have a mistake. Some it's not correct. Not only do they lay in it low, but they lay in it super fast. And they lay in it super fast, and no one corrects the Balkara, and he just mumbles it up. That is Shaloi Kedin. Shaloi Kedin is part of Kriyas HaTorah. Every single word has to be heard clearly. The only difference is you just lay in it a little bit. little bit of an undertone. Speed is not the issue. It doesn't have to be led fast. Some do a little bit faster. If you're talented, someone who's a talent, but it's led in a lower voice, but it's still every single word has to be read clearly. Clearly, if a Balkari can is not skilled enough, then I once saw when I was in shul where the Balkari wasn't really that skilled in changing speed and changing his voice. So he told the rabbi, he's a little bit confused with the rabbi, just lane it regular. It'll be fine. Do whatever you do for the rest of the parasha, you can lane it the same tone, the same volume. If you have a hard time adjusting, just do it regular. It'll be fine.
Anywhere, I don't know, but I read once that the reason about being mafsik in terms of laning, that there was a minig, I don't know if it was a minig or originally the din, that you only make one asher b'chavonu. The first guy that gets an aliyah makes a shabbachabonu, and the last aliyah makes
Asher Nosan.
And in between, there are no brachas. The olam, they don't make any
brachas. So how does
the beginning and one brach at the end, and that's it?
So how does that affect the teicha?
In other words, you just go up, you stop in the places you stop, but nobody makes a bracha when they're right in the Torah.
We'll come with that. Now we know that the Torah Parashas Bechukosai, you switch when you come towards the end. There is one pasuk that you lane loud. The Zecharity Espris Yaakov Karim Kol Ram Yakach. Then you go back to the pasuk Vayaretz Yakach pasuk Vayaretz to Ozev Namoch. And then when you come to the last pasuk Vayavkam Zos Biyosam Kol Ram Ad Hasayif. Period. Parashas Kisavo. Savo liyira es Hashem hanichbad at seif haposik b'kol ram. When you come to the end of the teichacha, that shall be rain b'kol ram. The achar kach namuch ad ve'ein koinig. You have to look at the psukim, but basically the parts of the teichacha which are unpleasant are laying low, and the parts that are pleasant are laying loud. The gan of parsh b'halayis. Again, we don't do this. This is not our custom. B'halayischa nihagin likres b'kol namuch min vayiam kimis oininim ad until v'hamon. Kizra Gat, the Atam Laharo Shehem Mis Chortim, they had Charata, the people who had Charata from their sin. They didn't have Vera, and they had Charata. V'chol ma shakori b'kol namach tzach shiyeh al kolpan makol nishma litzibur. Don't make a mistake and lane it too low. V'im loy came, because if you lane it too low, then in the yitzim yidei chavah sakuya. Arba nek. Now we come to what's very nogeh halachal maisa for this week's parasha. Arboim ushtayim aso sheparasha ve'el vasei ein lahavsek b'chem shug neged shem mem beis. This year is an extremely rare year where the parashas are divided. So basically, I assume what? I assume that 90 after, I assume that everyone here in this room, when they went to Shacharis today, they stopped in the middle of the Masos on a Monday, on a Monday and Thursday, today and Thursday. Monday and Thursday.
But I did
one. Vayachnu al Yamsuf, and that's the end. What do you mean, how can Vayachnu al Yamsuf? It's the middle of the Masos. How do you allow to stop over here? So normally it's not a problem because we never lay Masilo, we normally Masay together with Parashas Mato, and we only Matos Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha, and then when we lay it on Shabbos, this is part of one long aliyah. But this year, when we break apart Matos and Masay, so we lay in Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha, and then we only go until the middle, which is the middle of the Masos. How do you got to do this? So indeed, if you look at some Sidurim, okay, not in the article Sidur, but many other Sidurim, they did have that on Monday, Thursday, it's a very long laning. On Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha, there are people who have the custom, they go on Monday, when you start Vayisameis, all the way until Shlishi, all the way to the very end, it's a very long laning. However, everyone, it seems, follows that at least on Shabbos Kodesh, that you go the entire thing. So therefore, what are you going to do? What? The Shem name. There's a name of Kodesh Baruch Hu that has mem, the 42 letters. There are 42 masos. There are 42 trips. Klal Yisrael, they travel. They have 42 stops in the desert. Those 42 stops correspond to Hashem's name. There's a Shem Hashem that has 42 letters. So therefore, one corresponds to therefore Hashem not mafsek and Hashem in the middle of Hashem's name. Now halacha lemaisa. If you most shuls, I can't tell you every shul, but most shuls, the Shabbos will lay in the first Eilam HaSevin Yisrael, will go all the way until Shlishi. They're going to skip Shlishi all the way to Shlishi. Because they fulfill this halacha, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the Membeis Masos. So now the big question is, what do you do? Where do you make up the next aliyah? So if I remember correctly from this happened about a couple of years ago, where I remember really used to lead four psukim. You learned four psukim until the pasuk we learned yesterday, the pasuk of Yerushas, the mitzvah of Yishuv, the Eretz Yisrael. It's very good for this year. End off on a note, which is very relevant. understand what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, you read four psukim. Next, Dabriel ben Yisrael v'matalim ki atem orvim es yadin el Eretz Kinoan. Okay, next pasuk v'hayrashtem es kol yeshve aretz v'chulu v'chulu. And the next pasuk v'hayrashtem es aretz v'shaftem ba. Ki lochem nosati es aretz loreshes oisa. That's the end of the second aliyah. And then you continue, the third aliyah starts with his nachaltem es aretz, that's the next, and that goes until the end of this parsha break, but keeps on going until Revi, and that's going to be your fourth, that's going to be your third aliyah. So that's halacha l'maisa. Again, the common custom is that in a year like this, which is not going to happen, someone told me for 21 years?
Yeah.
21 years. It's not going to happen again, such a thing. So relish this moment. You're going to have to wait 21 years until this happens again. That on this Shabbos, they're going to lane all the way until Shlishi, Monday, Thursday, we're not makbid on this, because it's Tilchot Tzibura, people are in a rush. They can't sit in shul and listen to a long Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha. But on Shabbos, anyway, you have to learn the entire parsha, so you do it right. You do it right, you lay in the first two aliyahs in one shot until Shlishi, and then you lay in four psukim. That's not etched in stone. There are going to be some shuls that are not going to lay in four psukim. They're going to lay in, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to do other funny things. They're going to break up the aliyahs, but it's very tricky. It's very tricky. Why won't you want to do that? Why would that not be an ideal thing to do? Because some have a custom not to make hafsaka until Shishi. Okay, there is such a custom. Are you familiar with this, the makar for this? And you don't make a hafsaka until Shishi?
Yes.
Or Safa.
I showed you, that's what it says.
Until Shishi. Well, I don't know where that comes from. It's not Ikar Hadin. I once asked her...
Until Revi.
I also was a prominent Rav, could make hafsaka, so he told me the minig is not, but it's not, there's no real makar for this, so if you really want to do, you really need to do it, you can do it. So here's the dilemma. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe my mind is playing games with me, maybe I'm telling you it's not true. I just sticks in my memory that in a year like this year, you make a hafsaka. It's not hafsaka, it's not hoysafa, it's not hoysafa. It's not hoysafa. You need seven aliyahs. But it's not a traditional place to stop. But the aliyahs anyway are not, it's not etched in stone where you stop. And it's very tricky. It's not so easy to find a place to stop, because you now let it end off on a bad note. And you have to at least have three psukim before the end of the parasha break, and three psukim in the beginning. So you have to be very careful where you end off. So what sticks in my mind is this: the ideal place to end, and you right after the pasuk of Lo Nasati Asaris Loreshes Aisa. Oh, but what about the custom that you don't break up at least until you get to Shishi? Well, this is not a typical situation, because you have the Masais. So, and also, you're not doing it midin Hoysafa; you're doing it midin the Ikra Shiva Kruyim. So you'll see what happens in your shul, and whatever happens, ask the rabbi to explain why he chose to do this. And I'll say to you, none of your business. None of your business. Mind your own business. It's a secret trade. No, you sing. Also, there's another. Okay, let's talk about Masos. There's another issue about Masos. In fact, there are three ways. There are different customs. Let me tell you four customs. Custom number one. You lay in it like you lay in every other parasha. You don't lay any special niggun.
Right.
You don't lay any special niggun, right? You lay just standard. The second, the most common custom is you lay in with the niggun of Oz Yashir. But here's the trick. You lay in two psukim together.
Right.
It's not so simple to do this. This is what the whole world does. So let me illustrate. Okay, I'm not a...
Words don't fit in sometimes, that's all.
Okay, some place the words don't fit. You have to make them fit in, but there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is that when you do two psukim together, you're not really doing a soif pasuk.
Right.
So that's a very serious matter. You have to do a soif pasuk. The most important part, the most important thing you really glean, and you don't know the trop. It's okay. It's not okay. Gurim boy. But there's one trop. There's one trap that you're not allowed, that you have to really go back. I know some shuls where there are people that will not let you go weiter. They will not, if you make a mistake on a soif pasuk, they will say to you, you made a mistake, and read that part of the pasuk, read it again, and make a soif pasuk. Extremely makbid on this. Big problem is when you lay in the when you lay in the masos, the custom is you join together two psukim. It's a problem which there is no solution. The answer is you pour slightly after you do the first part of the nigun.
I always did each pasuk separately.
So then there's another custom. The other custom is no. You lay in every single pasuk, you draw it out. You drink every single, the nigun has two parts, and every single pasuk, no matter how small it is, you embellish the pasuk and you draw it out and you lay in with the saif pasuk. The reason why people don't do this is because they're not going to let you come back and lay next week. Because it will take a very, very long time. Okay, so that's why Olam cuts corners. Now the third custom, someone didn't demonstrate, but explained to me that the Yekkes, anyone here a Yekka? German Jews, they have a special nigun for the Masos.
It's a special nigun for everything.
Which is a three-part nigun.
It's not
which
special.
They lay in three, there are three notes. Someone tried to sing it for me. I didn't understand what he was doing. But they lay in three psukim together. Okay, you gotta go to Breuer's, I guess, to hear it for real. You gotta do three. There are three psukim that are read together, and each one has notes. But the mile is it ends off it. There's some degree of soif pasuk at each part. So it's a series of three, and somehow you do recognize a soif pasuk when you come to each breakpoint.
They don't generally have much of an ending in their soif pasuk.
I don't know. I really don't know anything about how they lay in. I don't know.
People who lay in Yankee Trump don't know it well. That's the problem. So it's not a good
Okay, so there are many minhagim. Some shuls, they don't do any nigun at all. They don't do anything at all. In fact, so I once slain someone. I did with a nigun. The guy came up and he said to me, "What in the world did you like? What? What are you doing?" So I said, "You never heard them laying with the masos the nigun of the Asher?" He goes, "No, I never heard this before. I never heard this before, but it's very common. I think it's very common. It's a Chassidus Shmini. Everyone heard this, right? No, you never heard this."
Well,
in King's Way. One pasuk. Wow. Which parish is that? So you do that still now? You do that now? But if you would lay, you would do it?
Yeah.
In
forced to do it.
Okay, I never heard that before. You told me about that. I never heard it before.
You have it on your tape. I gave it to you.
Okay, this see you also have the rear tamim. The only ones, this parsha.
Nobody knows that.
The King's Way. And memorized. Take your Shabbos. Don't forget to take your Shabbos tape recorder to hear how they do the Gvulois of Eretz Yisrael, the Yerach Ben Yamo, where it goes with something that's Karni Farah. There's only one, right?
There's
four?
The next Karni Farah, no, one.
Yerach Ben Yamo, they're both one. Just one.
Yeah. Just one. They go together. They go together. Yerach Ben Yamo, Karni Farah. So this is a once a year event. Once a year event. And if anyone knows how to do it...
Well, you can play it back. You've saved it. You know where it is.
No.
Paper
doubt, cue
to that spot.
Okay, so this is the discretion of the Balkore. He makes up some. He asks his 3-year-old child before he goes to shul, "Give me a nigun. Give me a nigun to for Yerach Kanei for Yerach Ben Yamo." All Alright, let's. Okay, so this is very good. It's Mamash Yon Diyoma. We came across Hashkacha Pratis, the Marashas Masse, right before it happens. Okay, let's take a look over here. The Shem Sim Halacha, Halacha Aleph. Halacha Beis. Okay, Halacha Beis. Okay, we do. We were discussing halacha that you have to start. You're not allowed to start with devara. You have to start with the teicha. You don't start with teicha. Pasiachem mikaidim ein b'sefer hakadosh imrei noyam b'sefer at the end. Shakasav sham tshuva levar halacha likuras hateicha b'li bracha. Okay, he goes and he does such a commotion like zakeinu harav hakadosh mirapshitz. Okay, no one does this anymore today. Not at least among anywhere we frequent. Chassidim, even the chassidim, they don't make a bracha for the teicha. No bracha. They just lay in the teichach without a bracha. V'heivi raya mi mishuvas mishavas har karmel v'chein kasa mishavas shuvas shalomeshiv shiachom likos ateichacha b'li bracha v'ayim b'shut avnei tzedek. No, so the Mishnah Berurah doesn't agree. Of course, no one, the Mishnah Berurah and all the Litvish Paiskim don't hold to this. You have to make a bracha. You have to make a bracha. What about being called up? How do you call up a person in the teichach? First, who gets the aliyah? The Kaan Minig is the Balkari gets it. Do you call up the Balkari? Most shuls, they do call up the Balkari. There are some shuls you don't call up. You just take the aliyah. You don't go, Yamoid!
The Bima could be the Gabbai also.
What? Some from the Bima, yeah?
Somebody who's standing at the Bima.
Aha, I didn't hear that. The common minig is the Balkari gets the aliyah, and the problem, you know what the problem is?
Yeah. Somebody from the Bima, but who nowadays, yeah. The Balkari is the only one who's qualified to lane.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to be the Balkari, because used to be everybody could lane.
No, but you can give us all the aliyah. They would hire, they would pay people. People, right. They would pay people to take it.
People, I have my son's bar mitzvah, his offer of course, Pashas Bukhukai, saying he's a lady.
Yeah.
So obviously he couldn't take it.
Yeah. So in that case,
there was a friend.
I'll take it, right?
It's okay.
Some people want to do tshuva. They didn't. They feel they want to. Okay, I told you the famous. There's a joke. There's a good joke, popular joke, where no one wants to teichacha, so they hired. They paid someone. They paid someone to take teichacha. So they made the arrangement for Shabbos. So it came time. He was late. So they were waiting. They were getting very nervous. He was already almost having the chachidin. So finally, he walks in. He comes and he was panting. So they said, "Where were you?" So he says to the tzibur, "What, do you really think I can make a parnasa with one teichacha?" All right, let's go. So different customs. V'ayin b'shut avnei tzedek shein nochen lasas keni. He disagrees. He holds that's not right. You have to make a bracha. V'ayin b'shut yad yitzchak. Shakatz of gam kein levat l'minik hazed not to make a bracha. V'chein kasa b'shut min chasalozer. The reason why he's bringing this down is because those people that did not make a bracha, they stopped. They leaned all the way to the very end. Like here, the Kitzur Shochnoch says that you don't start the teichacha with the teichacha. You start three psukim back. You start with baracha. With good psukim, then you go into teichacha, and then you finish off. So it's sandwiched, you're safe. If the teichacha has been sandwiched with bracha in the beginning, bracha at the end, that's only if you're making a bracha. But if you're not making a bracha, you're just going to lay the teichacha without making a bracha, then those people have the custom, they actually end the aliyah all the way to the very end, they make the bracha achreina, then they lay the teichacha without a bracha, and then they start up the first, very first pasuk of bracha with another bracha rishayina. But he says this should not be done. Shagam kin lebatal minig hazeh v'chein gets b'shud minig chazalot v'shem shem mikor la minig hazeh v'zikna ha-kodesh merapshis l'idei hu diyavid. He did this for himself. V'lohoya kavnas l'kvoya ha-minig. It was not his kavon that it should be a minig in Yisrael. That's a shchinish. I mean, what does that mean exactly? V'chein ma'ashma mi I know what that stands for. The Harizal, how you neig la'alos l'parasha teicha bebrachos. The Harizal took the teichacha. Va'anochin shabal kore be'atzmo yale l'parasha zo. Ayn shem etamo al pi mashakasa v'sevah the pirka. Shakasa v'minig yisrael tori he mashem akpidim sholoy la'alos the tori bekrisa teicha ki hamakri kore l'neichach the ki koyach l'noichach. I don't know what that means exactly. He reads to himself.
Oh, it means the Balkari
is laying and he's talking to the guy who's getting
he's cursing
there.
Him out. He's having kavana.
He says these bad things.
To that person. To him. Yeah. To him. Yeah. Hashem, it sounds like we could actually have kavana. Sometimes they call for the Teichah person that the Balkar he hates. It's known in the community. These people do not get along. Suddenly he's learning he's having kavana. The Teichah should be fulfilled against this person. The Isla be Gemara, Yakicha Elokim, Bechain Yakicha, Yosef, Avkana, Kamid, Yachav, Yosef, Kamar, Hamas Nisak, the Tanya, Amalek, Amalek. That a person, when he says these psukim, you should not say it towards another person, because even if he's saying it derech limudo, it looks like you're cursing the person. So even when you're saying these, Hashem should smite you, you should not say it even when you're learning with your chavrus, so you should not say it one to your friend, it doesn't look right. The CMB of the Pirka, Ani Makbid, Bikriyasa, Hatechacha, Shalo Yamud, Adam Negdi, he landed himself. Since the Gemara Taka says this, even derech limudo, you should not say words that are harsh, that appear as if you're saying someone else. You should say it. That's the basic reason is because if you're calling up a person to the Teichah, he's saying it looks like the Balkari is cursing out his fellow, and that's not right. So if the Balkari says it, he's not cursing himself. He's just saying what it says in the Torah. That takes away the problem. Okay. Let's go to halacha. Next halacha, halacha hey. Bein gavu legavu tzrichim legula es a sefer Torah. Bein gavu legavu, you have to close this sefer. You have to cover it. So this is very important halacha. Mikra din no. What? You don't. Right. It says mikra din you don't. That's a very interesting halacha. Like when it comes Shabbos mincha or during the weekday, you don't have to cover the sefer Torah. There's no hakpada. Bein gavu legavu tzrichim legula es a sefer Torah ve'ein tzrichim lechasaisa. Ach. However, when you say Kaddish, or you make a Mishra Beirach, Koidem Maftir, Sha'aymim Kaddish, V'yesh Zman Oruch, Tzarech Lechasaisa, B'mi'il, so you have to cover with the meal. V'chein b'chol mokam, Sh'yesh Zman Oruch, if it's a Zman Oruch, going Shemazamrim, L'chosan, for example, they sing for Chosan, so you see, he brings that from a car. They call up a Chosan, they sing. When he gets the Aliyah, or someone today, they make a Kiddush as a boy or a girl, they sing. You have to cover the Sefer Torah. V'nira duchu hadin kishemarichin b'misha berach. Why? Because when he promises to give a lot of money to the shul and he doesn't pay the money, it's mamash sheker. And Torah is emes. You don't want to mix sheker and emes. That was supposed to be a joke. Okay, but the reason is Yemarech. Halacha vav. Im Torah b'Shabbos. Okay, we'll some quick halachas. Let's say they make mistakes. Im Torah b'Shabbos, v'korim v'chayishishi ad gemar sidra. They make a mistake and they skip an aliyah. It could happen this Shabbos. Okay, this Shabbos is a candidate for such a mistake. They lay until Shlishi because of the Masos, and they forget to make a Hafsaka somewhere in the middle to be Mashal Mizayin Elias. Okay, I'm sure there's going to be a Shul somewhere out there in the world that's going to make this mistake on Shabbos. They're going to go and lay all the way out of Gemara Sidra. Lo Yoyma, so what do you do then? So now I learn the entire Parsha. The whole Parsha, we only had 6 Elias. You must have 7 Elias. Lo Yoyma, so don't say Kaddish. Ele Yikru Miyad Es HaMaftir. So right away, call up the Maftir with out a Kaddish, the Yashtim Gam Lamin Shiva Kuyim, and in other words, you're going to miss a Maftir. So the Maftir is not so terrible. It's not the end of the world not to have a Maftir. Maftir, Mikred in Tam Chazal, the one that got the 7th Aliyah was the Maftir. It's a new thing. This is a modern thing that we have 7 Aliyahs plus a Maftir. So Mikred, if you make a mistake and you only land 6 Aliyahs, so then just read the Maftir. The one that gets Maftir will be the 7th Aliyah, and there won't be another Maftir, and you'll say the Kaddish after the Maftir instead of saying the Kaddish before the Maftir. After you say the Haftarah in Mabrochos, Oz Yom HaKaddish, you're not supposed to be Mafsik between Maftir and the Haftarah. That's another very important halacha. No Hefsik. Don't have any breaks between the Haftarah, the Maftir and the Haftarah. So you say the Kaddish when you finish the Haftarah. Very interesting state hadvarim. V'chein b'yom tov im tov v'korav v'marvi ad gemar. Let's say on Yom Tov you only learn 4 aliyahs instead of learning 5 aliyahs. Same thing. Lo yomer Kaddish, ela yikra miyad sa Maftir. the Sefer Torah Sheni, and then the Wailein in the second Sefer Torah will be the fifth Aliyah, and then you do the Haftarah, and then you say Kaddish. V'yachar Haftarah, v'abrach l'siyam v'akadosh say the Kaddish. Ketzrichin, ketzrichin l'hoitzi shleisha Sefer Torah. Let's say you're very common, your shul only has two good Sefer Torah, and you have three, you need three Sefer Torah. So what should you lay for the third Sefer Torah? So the halacha is the first Sefer Torah. When they're laying and when they're busy with the second Sefer Torah, they should take the first Sefer Torah and goil it to the location of the third Sefer Torah. You shouldn't miss the third, second Sefer Torah. Because you're shikul loitz, you shloish the Sefer Torah. Vein lecham el shnayim lo yigolu es hasheni likros likros bo mash shikul likros b'shlishi ela yikhu es harishon likros bo. Not mistaken. That's when the article he says that. Let's say you make a mistake. Let's say they're the gabayim are asleep, and they lay in from the first Sefer Torah, and then they don't know the halacha. They do hagbon galila, and they lay in the second Sefer Torah, and no one was goilu the first Sefer Torah. So then, since anyway, now you have to be goil one of the two Sefer Torah. Anyway, you have to wait. Anyway, there will be Tircha de Tzibura. Then you should be goil the second Sefer Torah. Since it's in front of you, you should not bypass it for a different. The only time you should bypass the second and go back to the first because of Tircha de Tzibura. So, but that's only when there's Tircha de Tzibura. If there's no Tircha de Tzibura, then. And then anyway, there's going to be tichud tzibur because you forgot to be goyel the first sefer. Then you should be goyel the second sefer Torah. Another thing, if I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with what it says in halacha. Hey, okay, I'm pretty sure this is correct. The Mishnah Berurah says that here we have to go look this up and show one more time. But we were just learning in halacha. Hey, that if you by mistake only lain six aliyos, so you should call up maftir for the seventh. You should call up maftir. And Mafti will be the seventh Aliyah. If I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah says you should call up a seventh Aliyah and repeat Psukim.
Right.
You repeat the Psukim. It's not the end of the world. We do this on Simchas Torah. At Simchas Torah we learn multiple times. And there are shuls, communities where when there's a Simcha, they give everyone in the shul an Aliyah. And if there's not enough Psukim to go around, they will repeat the parasha. They'll relay the whole parasha multiple times so that every single person has an aliyah. So Rav Moshe says that being that, the Mishnah Berurah says that being that you must lay in seven aliyahs, so it's no big deal for you if you lay in the entire parasha with only six aliyahs, so repeat the seventh aliyah. Just give another aliyah and repeat the seventh aliyah, and then you do Kaddish, and then you'll call up the maftir. Who says the Kaddish, by the way? Different customs. Most shuls, the Balkari says the Kaddish. Some shuls, a person who is a chiyuv, someone is a chiyuv for Yudeh, Chodesh, whatever, someone says the Kaddish. And some shuls, they have a hakpad, the bedafka, a person, or the Balkari, or some is there, let's say the Balkari is a chiyuv. Let's say the Balkari is betoch Yudeh, Chodesh, the Balkari has yardsat, the Balkari is whatever, he has a chiyuv. Bedafka, a person who is not a chiyuv, should say the Kaddish, because this Kaddish is a very strange Kaddish. It was established for people for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. There are people in the community who have died, and they do not have any relatives, and there is no one saying Kaddish. Chazal Masakim, this Chatzai Kaddish should be an aliyah for their neshama. If you're going to allow a person who is a chiyuv to say this Kaddish, they're going to steal it. They're going to be saying it with kavanah for their own relative. And that's not right. It's not for their relative. It's meant to be people who don't have Kaddish. So bedavka, you should give the Kaddish to a person who is not saying, who is not saying Kaddish. Okay, let's stop over here. Halacha Ches.